to get through with where we are, but we're doing well, and we're holding tight, and I am convinced that God is going to have a way with His church. We have Sunday school opening next week, and that is exciting, and I don't know how I'm going to have an opportunity to tell you Sunday school is over. I'll probably bring a cowbell with me next week, and I'll ring it real loud so you'll know it's time to come to church. Because from now on, we're going to have our announcements at the beginning. That way we don't have it interrupting the service as we go through. And so with that in mind, I personally like that picture that Kirk got up there. And, you know, that's really hard for us. That's not hard for God. That was just what He does. And so we recognize that that is what takes place. And today I'm going to introduce to you a tremendous warrior. You know, we get this feeling that, good night, we've become a Christian and it ought to be live happily ever after. You know what? We can live happily ever after, but it doesn't mean that we always will. Take a look at that beautiful picture of a man wearing a wonderful uniform. Do you recognize him? A couple of you will, two or three, if you're old enough. It's Audie Murphy. His father left his home early, and he was gone forever. His mother died when he was a teenager, and he worked to raise his sisters and the other siblings. But then Pearl Harbor happened, and he got his sister to help him forge the document so that he could join the military. He tried every service, but the Army was the only one that took him. And boy, they were glad they did. This individual was the most decorated soldier in World War II. He had every badge of courage that you could have. And that's not all of them hanging on him, but I have a feeling he rattled when he walked. He also received two more values, and I guess there was a lot came with it, from other countries because of his valor and his war record during World War II. He was an amazing soldier. Now, I raise that picture to you because we are reading a text today. It says, finally, this is in Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 10, the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows from the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. That's an amazing passage as you look at it. And we look at it, we wait a minute. We are to be a warrior. We're to be a warrior? The picture of the warrior that I had before you, that was kind of an amazing picture, wasn't it? We are to be strong in the Lord. And so we look at this and we make a grave mistake if we think that conversion takes care of all of our problems. There are plenty of preachers out there that like to preach that kind of message. Get saved and you won't have any more trouble. That's not true. When you get saved, the battle begins. That's where the devil wants to attack you. And mind my word, the devil is real and he's coming after you. You do have an enemy that is constant and forever, and this enemy knows your weaknesses. That's the hardest part for us to understand, that he knows our weaknesses, and we are in a lifelong warfare. You know, we can get political and a lot of stuff, and you can have a lot of issues, but this is not political. This is the truth. As a Christian, you're going to be attacked by Satan himself. He will do everything he can to ruin your life, to wreck your reputation, to put you in a place where you're compromised, to do everything that he can in order to hurt you and to hurt God. Because if he hurts you, he hurts God. You need to think about that for just a minute. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. My question to you today, are you strong in the Lord? Well, how in the world do you get strong? You have to release yourself. You have to pray and be filled with the Spirit. And God will do that. When you get saved, you get all of God that you're going to get. But he hasn't got all of you that he wants. That's the point. You already have the Holy Spirit in you. You already know Jesus as your personal Savior. You already have a relationship with God. That's what happens in conversion. But we've got to recognize that we have to be strong in the Lord. We must pray, pour power in me, Lord. Please pour power in me. It's strength and it's might that we need. We need Christians who have strength and might and will not be wrecked by where we live or what is going on around us. We will have a direct relationship with God, and it will be what fills us so that we can have that kind of strength. We are powerful forces of wickedness. If you look at 11 and 12, it talks about this. You've got to put on the whole armor of God. You know, our military is something to behold. And whenever the military is given a command and they know what they're supposed to do, they will do it. And do you know our military is capable of doing a lot? They are very powerful. We don't realize just how powerful we have in our military. We're just so grateful for them. While I was at Alpine for a year, we had a Sunday school class that had Border Patrol, game wardens, detectives, highway patrol, they were all in that class. And there was a party that we had, and we were supposed to say three things about ourselves, one of them true and two of them false, let everybody guess. I said in one of mine that I am a quick draw artist and I am really fast. And half of them thought that was true. I said, do you think I'm a fool with all you guys that carry a gun to make a living? I'm not that. I'm lying on that one. Because they are powerful and they practice and they work. And they work hard at it. Well, this says, hey, watch out. We have to have those kind of capabilities in ourselves because we wrestle with the devil. We must be against the principalities and powers that are spiritual. And you notice that these things are all against God? The devil would do anything if he could bring a war right into heaven. That's exactly what he would love to be able to do. Bring a war into the heavenly realm and into the spiritual world. He would love to do that, but it's not going to happen. So, in verses 13 through 17, you and I to wear God's armor. You know, a lot of us don't really want to wear a mask, do we? A lot of people would like to take that thing off and just leave it. Do you get a flu shot every now and then? I tell you, I know a few people who don't, but I believe just about everybody wants to get a good flu shot. Have you ever lived in a country, part of the country where there's a lot of snakes? I like snake guards when you got that because they can be vicious. How many of you wear a coat when it gets cold? Everybody does. I don't know. I want a coat when it really gets cold. That just makes common sense, doesn't it? Well, right now we are in the process of everybody getting inoculated against the COVID. How many of you have gotten your shot? Look at that. Look at that. We're doing well. We'll get the other half before long. We are going to keep having those shots given out, and the offer is being made. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of the society in which we live. Well, we want to do all of that. We want the common sense. But what does the believer have to do? He has to put on the whole armor of God. And what is that for? To attack? Absolutely not. You don't find in here to attack. What it says is, whenever you put on the whole armor of God, you are to stand your ground. And that means plant your feet right there and stand against anything the devil throws at you. The whole armor of God, the emphasis is to stand. I want you to notice. We'll walk through these for just a moment. But all of the pieces of armor that we put on, how many of them do you think are offensive? One. All the rest are defensive. Look at what we get. To stand, the belt of truth. What kind of truth is that? The belt of truth was to keep your clothing close to you. But it is really this. It is God's truth that we stand in. The belt of God's truth helps us keep our head in the game and helps us stay in the game. We want to stand, and we've got to have God's truth. But you also have to have the breastplate of righteousness. That covers the middle, doesn't it? All the way down, and it's a big shield there. And you know what? That's a good thing for you to put on. It covers your whole body. It protects your heart. That protects your heart. And so you look at that and realize, you know, God wants your heart taken care of. And so you want to cover the body to protect the heart. Then the sandals of the gospel of readiness to please please God's word. And you look at that and be ready to go. with the gospel of readiness. How many of you could share the gospel with someone? That's our job. That's our task. And you don't browbeat them to become a Christian. You lead them to become a Christian. And you share the gospel. That's what we're all about. I'm excited about the sign because it looks like we're coming into the, is that the 19th? No, the 20th century? No, 21st century. 22nd century? What century are we in? Think about where we are. We're going to have a sign that's very modern. And it's going to look like we know what we're doing. And we've dressed this place up. Man, we've made this place look great. Inside and out. But the whole point is, we want to be able to lead somebody to Christ. That's the job that we're to be a part of. And I'm glad we're doing things now, getting started really quick and getting on it. And then put on the shield of faith. Faith covers us. That shield is a great big oblong thing that when the arrows, flaming arrows or darts, are coming at you, you can get behind it. They'll hit that and bounce off. And you're saved. The shield of faith is an oblong shield that protects the body. You've got to have the helmet of salvation. I think that's important. It covers the head and it covers the mind. God expects us to use our mind. He wants us to be people who use our mind. Because we live in a hard world. It's a fun world and there's a lot of good stuff. Sure, a lot of bad stuff. And you know, the only cure for what we have is the gospel. We need to recognize the helmet of salvation covers us. But then you find the real weapon. The real weapon is the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. That's the weapon that is used for both defense and offense. You remember Jesus being tempted by the devil, thrust into the wilderness and being tempted, and every time how did he rebuke him? Scripture. We live in a world that will come at you from every direction. The devil wants to come at you. Scripture. You need to have your scripture, to know your scripture, and be prepared with scripture to defend yourself and to attack whatever needs to be attacked. Because the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And anytime the word of God is preached, it works. And we're going to be looking for a new preacher. We need one that'll preach the gospel. Think about it. Of course, that's what we're all supposed to do. Preach the gospel. To know the gospel. To share the gospel. We are to both be on defense and offense. The sword of the Spirit cuts both ways. And I'll guarantee you, the sword of the Spirit can change this world. We need to be sure that that happens. But then notice, while we are doing all of this, we're to be in prayer. We're to be in prayer in the Spirit and unselfishly. Our prayer in the Spirit is not supposed to be just personal, but it is to be one that reaches out unselfishly. God's Word constantly offered in prayer. We should pray. And the purpose is that by prayer and the strength of prayer, we can stand. When it's all said and done, we still stand. You know, when you read about the song that we sing for our country, about the flag that stood, in the big battle when that was written, nobody knew how it was going until the sun showed. And there was the flag, still standing. That's what we want. We want the world to see us, in spite of all that's happened, we're going to stand. And this church is going to make a difference in this community because of the gospel that we have and the prayer that we are offering with all intensity and all petition and all supplication, he says. That's an attitude of prayer, a walk in prayer, that's 18 to 20. The prayer is all-inclusive, and the manner of it is always, in every season, without ceasing. We don't need to be casual about how we pray. I'm glad we have a prayer list that is sent out every week. I'm glad that we have people who are sending out the message to all of us, and I hope that you get it, because the prayer list is critically important. We need to pray for one another. You know, we've had, even while I've been here, we've had some funerals in this community, and they've been hard. They always are. But the whole point is, prayer is important. We need to practice it. We need to persevere in it. We need to pray with purpose that God's will be done. To wrap this up, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. That's from Colossians 1:11. From the New Living Translation. My prayer for this church is that we'll be a praying church that is constantly praying that God's will be done, and then offering God the opportunity to lead us to do it. It's one thing to pray, it's another thing to minister. This is a ministering church. We need to keep it up. We need to do more of it. And it may be that today God has spoken to you and you know that you need to join this church, or you know that you need to come to the altar and pray, or you know that there's something in your heart that needs to be changed and you want to come and find out about it. Whatever it is that you feel that God wants you to do right now, I ask you to stand with me and we'll sing our hymn of invitation, and I'll ask you to come as the Lord leads you.